Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. And we're checking in right now with Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. Good morning, Mayor Loretti. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. I was reading something actually out of the Shelton Herald this morning that the A&T board wanted to make some changes to your proposed education budget, but that failed. What can you tell me about that?
Well, I wasn't at the meeting. I only got versions of what was said and what they were trying to do. But, you know, a lot of this is just gamesmanship. We have some amateurs on this board. You know, it's a very political board. It's 3-3. The mayor serves as the chair. So if the mayor doesn't serve up, I mean, show up at a meeting or vote, then it's a 3-3 tie. So what's the point? See, we made this a contention for a charter change, and we have a group in Shelton now that thinks that they're smarter than everybody else, and that you know, they just want to create controversy. And so, really, that's what's going on.
So what were, I mean, to up the amount of money, like, what were they looking to add to your plan?
Well, they were trying to take, from what I can tell, about $2 million out of surplus, well, they called it a surplus, and appropriate it to the Board of Education to give them more money. See, that always plays well at election time. It always plays well at budget. You know, let's give education more money. And quite honestly, by doing that, you know, you had to reduce expenses somewhere. So the proposal that they had was a budget that was out of balance, and you can't do that. So, I mean, a lot of this is gamesmanship, and, you know, most people aren't following this. So they look at headlines, and, you know, it's catchy, and okay. You know, maybe they think they're scoring some political points, but at the end of the day, they're way out of whack.
So, Mayor Loretti, was this to either preserve staff numbers or programs, or this was just a political move, you think?
Well, look, at these Board of Education budgets are, and I don't mean just here in Shelton, it's right across the state, there's a lot of gamesmanship that goes on every year. It's a ploy for more money. No one ever calls them on how they spend their money, except some people in the state. I happen to be one of them. And some people don't like that. You know, the education lobby doesn't like that. And, you know, that's okay. But I've been doing this consistently for many years. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have a pretty good school system, although it does get bashed at budget time. But the results that we have gotten over the years has been phenomenal. And people can't refute this. See, they don't talk about things like that. They just talk about, oh, we have to lay off teachers. You know, they give away 3% raises. Nobody gets 3% raises. Nobody. Nobody's gotten that for the last 15 years, except if you're in education. And so, you know, no one checks them on how they manage their money. It's only at budget time that we're interested in.
We're talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti this morning. I do want to talk a little bit about education, if you don't mind, Mayor, because it was brought to my attention by somebody who is interested in running against you for mayor, David Eldridge. And then I did some more digging. I looked at a Facebook page, actually, that supported this claim. A lot of parents, apparently, this didn't even come from David. A lot of parents have said that on a weekly, even sometimes daily basis, they are told the morning of that buses for their kids are canceled. Now, I know you and I kind of talked about that and how it's not competitive enough for people to come into Shelton, and there are other bus companies kind of taking Shelton bus drivers out. Also, COVID was kind of a factor. So what are we doing to invest or to kind of hold on to bus drivers? Because on a weekly basis, if that in fact is true, that's a lot of chaos, I would think, for the average household, no?
Well, this is what a guy like Dave Eldridge does. He puts out mistruths. And this is not a problem that is singular to Shelton. One needs to look around at what's going on. You know, 2 weeks ago, there were 10 municipalities in the state that, excuse me, that canceled school because they couldn't get bus drivers or teachers. We've never had to cancel schools. We've missed a few runs here and there. People calling sick. People haven't come to work because of COVID. You know, there's a pandemic going on. The government's paying people more money to stay home. So there's a disincentive for people to come to work. You talk to any employer around the state, they're going to tell you the same thing. In Florida, they can't get drivers to pick up garbage because the government's paying them more money to stay home. It's insane what's going on. I mean, this is, it gets pretty complicated, and, you know, the average parent says, oh, you know, they, you know, you got to pick up my kids. Of course we do. It's not like we want to miss runs, but it does happen.
But Mayor Loretti, are people finding out the morning of on a weekly basis that their bus routes are canceled?
Well, if four or five drivers call in at 5 o'clock in the morning, what are you supposed to do?
No, I'm just asking if that's happening like on a weekly basis. That's all. I'm not accusing anything. I'm just asking.
Well, it happened, yes, but we're in a pandemic. You know, a pandemic, the rules are different. And this problem is not singular to Shelton. They want to make it singular to Shelton. They want to make it sound like this is the only place that it's happening, and that's not true.
Okay,
you know,
this is
political gamesmanship, and they're leading these parents in a different direction. And I got to tell you something: the number of kids who are not getting picked up is so small. And not that it makes it right, but it's not a big number. So, you know, is this a real big problem? When the pandemic, we didn't have this problem last year. There was no pandemic.
So you think once the pandemic's over, we should get back on track?
Well, everybody will be on track. Again, it's not just Shelton. You know, if you followed the news like you do, you would know that over the last several months that New Haven canceled school, they had 30 bus drivers called in. Mm-hmm. The mass transit had to shut down because they didn't have enough bus drivers. Waterbury had like 50 drivers that called in 1 week, and they had to cancel school. Why don't we cancel school from early November to January? Teachers called in. They didn't want to come to work. That's not an issue. We don't care about that. We only care about when the bus drivers call in. I mean, come on. This is a double standard. This is ridiculous.
Okay. Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. And I had one more question for Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti this morning. Mayor Loretti, it was told to me by actually a couple of your volunteer firefighters in the city that we are not investing in the names of the departments on the city trucks. Why is that?
Well, that's not true at all. Excuse me, Melissa. Dealing with this pollen issue.
I get it. It's all good.
We bought a brand new truck, a ladder truck, $1.3 million. I get no credit for that, but they're worried about the name going on the truck, which I told them we're not going to put the name on that truck because that truck may not stay at that firehouse, and we reserve the right to move that truck from place to place. So I didn't want to build an expectation. And so, again, you know, politics being what it is, because that's what this is, and a lot of it is driven by a guy by the name of Dave Eldridge, who wants to run for mayor. He's a retired police officer. He retired before he was about to be fired, so he's disgruntled, and people need to know that. And that's why these things are only important to a place like Shelton, even though it's happening all over the state. So, you know, I don't know if there's much to say beyond that.
Okay, no, like I said, this actually came from a couple of volunteer firefighters, but we are still investing in the names. You're just talking about that specific truck is not getting it because it moves around from different departments?
Well, it may be transferred to a different department.
Gotcha.
And quite honestly, this department or this firehouse has had a lot of problems in the past. And, you know, you've got to get their attention one way or another. And, you know, if that's what they're worried about, the name on the truck, okay, you know what? I'm not there. I'm about building discipline within the emergency services and everybody following the protocol. And by and large, our department is pretty good, and everybody adheres to that, with the exception of this one company. So, you know, if they want to try to force my hand in some form or another over the name on a truck, I would remind them we just bought a $1.3 million truck that they didn't have to ask for that services the fire department. So if that's what it is, okay.
All right. Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti, I appreciate the extra time this morning. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
All righty. You take care now.
So Junior Achievement USA actually has been around since 1919. And right here in our listening area, we have Junior Achievement of the Greater Fairfield County. And what's cool about the work that Junior Achievement does of Greater Fairfield County, basically it is dedicated to inspiring and preparing young people to succeed through programs that focus on things like financials, work and career readiness, and entrepreneurship. And what I love about this nonprofit is the fact that it is prepping kids to understand the industries of work that they are potentially going to go into in their futures. I love this idea. I love this concept. I was embarrassed to know that I had not even realized it had been around for so long. So this morning, Bernadine Venditto, is the president of Junior Achievement of Greater Fairfield County. She is here right now to talk about the program and also this amazing initiative that launches starting today. Bernadine, thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me, and I'm doing very well. Thanks. What a great introduction.
Well, I think it's amazing. And, you know, in Bernadine, the reason that I kind of throw myself under the bus is because I had no idea that this work had been going on for so long. I wish there were more programs like this, honestly, because, you know, figuring out what you want to do when you grow up, you know, your kids have dreams and even we had aspirations. But it's not until you either enter a college course or you graduate that you figure out, oh, do I really want to do this? So I love this.
Thank you, Melissa. And, you know, it's not just you. I think one of the things that we face, and which I'm so excited about you giving me this opportunity, is that we say it seems to be the best kept secret. And once people find out, like yourselves, like I did before I ever worked for JA, the value of what kids are learning, you know, we say, wow, this is really needed. This is really important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the opportunity to talk more about it.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, if you're a parent, a grandparent listening right now, you have either children in middle, high school, and they want to get involved with this nonprofit, how do they even start?
So generally, the way that it traditionally works is through the schools. Educators, whether they're specific teachers, superintendents, or principals, will generally work with the JA staff. The one thing about JA is we have a history of very long-standing partnerships with the schools. So we're all the schools throughout Fairfield County, Greater Fairfield County, and any one of those, anytime there's an interest, that's how we usually connect. So it would be through the schools. The thing that's exciting about, you know, the event that we're launching today that we'll talk more about is that it gives direct access to parents and students to self-register. It's in a virtual program, and that's a way to engage so that parents really can see what we're doing and sign their kids up on their own.
Are a lot of schools in our districts, do we have a lot of schools in Fairfield County that offer the JA experience?
Yes, we do. They're over in Fairfield County and the Valley. Those are the areas that we serve. There are over 20 different school districts, and there are about 90 to 100 schools that participate.
Wow.
As well as we've partnered with community partners also that might be outside of the traditional schools. That's one of the ways that we are growing to help make a deeper impact in the community.
Now, Bernadine, what if your child goes to a school that is not involved with JA? Is there a way you could pitch to, like, your school administrations or anything? Like, hey, we should get involved with this. This is very cool. Or you know, what can you do if your school is not involved?
Yes, I think you can, for sure. Go to the administration and say, this is so valuable. This is what we're learning. We'd love to be able to participate. Because, you know, Melissa, what you bring up, one of the things is schools getting engaged, and all this is offered to students, is there is no charge to the schools. We raise all of our money as a nonprofit privately. So we love to, you know, have schools get involved, and especially schools in the low to moderate income areas. Mm. We really believe that we can make a big difference for those kids in building their own success plans.
Bernadine Venditto is here, the president of Junior Achievement of Greater Fairfield County. Now, this nonprofit does amazing work getting kids prepped for careers and really helping them to understand their, you know, finances, things like that, like real life skills and prepping and figuring that out before you even go to college, which I think is so cool. Now, Bernadine, explain this to me before we go into talking about the virtual event that launches today, because I want to give a lot of time to that. Explain to me, if your school does participate, for example, because this is new to me. I've never really heard of this. If your school participates, how often do kids actually engage with JA? Like, is it where it's an after school thing? Do like business leaders come in? Like, how does that work or kind of tie into their curriculum?
Yeah. So the unique the uniqueness about junior achievement is that it generally, well, pre-COVID, takes place in the classroom. So it aligns, the reason educators welcome us into the schools is we align with what they're learning in the curriculum. So junior achievement comes in with programs that are experiential learning, where they're learning real life skills, and they happen right in the classroom. It really works because we have what we call volunteer role models, who are people from the business and community that come in and deliver the curriculum. And what they do is bring it to life, sharing their own experiences. So a great example is, someone comes in and starts to talk about their own career path. You know, when I was younger, I thought I wanted to do this. And then I started to do it, realized I didn't like it. And then they talk about their own career path.
Cool.
They end up being role models, and it really does, like I said, bring it to life. And then the activities that junior achievement teaches are supplemental to what they're learning. So generally the way we look at it is a program would occur maybe, you know, anywhere from 5 lessons in elementary school to up to a semester long in high school.
That is so cool. And if people are listening mm-hmm. right now, they want to maybe even offer their 2 cents, like if they want to be someone who could talk to these kids directly, do you have opportunities where people can volunteer their time?
We do. We always want people to engage with junior achievement, learn more about what we do. And if they go to our website, which we can share, there's opportunities there. We have our volunteer needs right there.
That is so cool.
And now since we have, you know, with schools being remote learning for the most part, we, because we're part of a national organization, as you mentioned in the very beginning, we've been able to successfully transition to digital learning and virtual learning. Mm-hmm. So we train our volunteers to be able to teach that way. And, you know, this is being able to meet the needs of educators where they are, for sure.
My understanding is starting today, there is a virtual event that can really help out a lot of families, and it's going to be accessible to people all the way into the summer months. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So one of the major focuses of junior achievement is to help kids from an early age start to understand, how do you prepare for a career? How do you prepare for the future? So a big part of that is understanding your own self-interest. What are your interests? What are you good at? And then how do you go about it? So we are so excited to be launching today this virtual event. It is called JA Inspire Virtual, and it focuses on career exploration. And it will be available for parents, educators, and any community partners. We have a direct link where people can self-register.
So cool. Now, if somebody wants to register, what does that cost them?
It doesn't cost them anything. And it's invaluable. I feel like a MasterCard commercial, but it really is. So it doesn't cost anything. This is really available because it was really listening to the needs of educators in hearing that what they really need for kids to have, and this is geared toward middle and high school students, career awareness, including an understanding of pathways of building from education through training, through what do they need to be good at for jobs, and then finally exposure. So that, along with knowing on the employer side, there's a real need to build a skilled workforce and a pipeline. This platform really engages both. It engages the employers and the students, and it really is a fantastic way for the students to learn about these jobs and for employers to give kids a firsthand look and experience at what is needed for these jobs.
So Bernadine, I'm seeing here in your notes that there are over 80 exhibitor booths, which is amazing. And that includes
yes.
career cluster booths in each exhibit hall. So how does it work? If somebody gets on the link, they want to sort of mm-hmm. engage in something specific, a certain industry, a certain career, how do they navigate that?
So when you link onto it, there'll be an explanation of how to navigate it. And there's help booths also there in case people need, you know, get lost a little or need direction. But the way it's situated is exactly that. We focused it on high growth and high demand industries so that kids have exposure to that right here in Connecticut. And then the different halls are situated by industries. Then there are various companies, those exhibitor booths. the various companies in those industries where the kids will learn about jobs and careers available, as well as pathways. And then we also have an auditorium where we have speakers on topics that are of specific importance. For example, DEI, how are companies addressing that? Entrepreneurship, there's a lounge, it's the Startup Hub. It's really cool. We have both local entrepreneurs giving advice, as well as like Mark Cuban, who was a JA student.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Mark Cuban was a JA student. That's awesome.
Yes, he was.
That is so cool.
And he actually talked a little bit about what he learned.
Wow.
So it's situated in that way. So they're both, they're hearing advice as well as, you know, being able to see firsthand in the booths what jobs are available. And then the students at the end of it will receive a digital career book, which connects what their pre-work, which is an assessment of their interests and strengths. Then they go through the career booths. And then at the end, they receive a digital career book, which will connect them to these companies with real jobs.
Wow.
What do they pay?
Wow.
You know, what are the pay ranges? What do you need for education? So it's a real, you know, it's real life, and it's a real tool to help them in starting. How do you put together a plan?
Yeah,
which
this
is really critical.
It really is.
It's things JA does.
It's like career day on a whole different level. And, you know, the registration, it's a little bit of a lengthy website. So what I'm going to tell people is go to JAGFC, of course, which stands for Junior Achievement of Greater Fairfield County, JAGFC.org. And on the homepage, there is a direct link to register. It would be so foolish not to take advantage of that. Parents, grandparents, anyone out there, if you want to get your, especially middle and high schoolers, just kind of connected into different career paths. This is such an amazing and free opportunity. And Bernadine, thank you so much for talking to us about it this morning. And I hope to talk to you again really soon.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
So I have seen flooding all over Facebook, people just kind of coming out of the woodworks and sharing their mental health stories. Some are really beautiful. Full circle. This is where I was. This is how I have ended up. And some are just in the midst of dealing with their mental health. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So, Julius, I have to imagine you have probably clients who are also dealing with it, especially during the pandemic. Do you find it therapeutic to, first of all, make it more normal, destigmatize the fact that mental health is very much something that most people go through at some point?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a very traumatic thing for so many coming out of a pandemic, and we're trying to pretty much adjust to a new normal.
Mm.
And that adjustment can many, many times manifest in mental health issues. And so often, you know, people aren't aware of it. Melissa, if you had cancer or if you had a broken leg, you could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't see mental health.
Right.
And that's where so many people feel alone. And there are oftentimes we're tempted to say, I'll just brush it off. Just get over it. You know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can do this. And, you know, it's a lot deeper than that. Sometimes it's as simple as some of the serotonin levels in your brain needing to be rebalanced. So maybe you need a little bit of medication to help.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people need affirmation. And many feel like they're failures just because they're not thinking right, or they have anxiety or panic attacks. And that's not true, because we all go through it. We all have periods of ups and downs. And the key is not to mask it, but to let people know, let people in.
Yeah.
But my heart goes out to those who are just trying to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And really they're hurting inside. So yeah, it's a great month. May is a great month for mental health awareness. And I'm so glad you're talking about it.
So, I mean, what would you suggest, Julius Dudix? What should people do if they feel like, here's the thing. I think with mental health, you kind of touched on it. There's a lot of stigma around it. I think as soon as you say that your mental health might not be in check, or I think I'm struggling with this, it is very hard to say that without somebody raising an eyebrow, judging, even if it's internal. Like, you could feel that energy transfer when you say, I'm struggling with my mental health. And I think that no matter how much we put it out there and we say, this is very normal, this really is normal, you should talk about it, you should see somebody, don't deal with it by yourself, people still deal with it on their own. And one of the biggest reasons is because they're judged for it. So how do you encourage people to still open up and go to someone?
Yeah, they have to find it within themselves to admit the fact that I'm wrestling with my mental health. They've got to acknowledge it, because you can't fix what you can't acknowledge.
True.
And so if you continue trying to push it down, it's going to manifest in forms of negative behavior, i.e. drinking, i.e. smoking pot, i.e. Anger, i.e. depression. And so you really want to get to a place where you can acknowledge it. But then for those who are trying to help, you know, you've got to help the person to acknowledge their pain, because people in pain really just want to be heard.
Mm.
And they just, like, for instance, people who talk about suicide, I want to kill myself. By and large, many who say that really don't want to kill themselves. They just want the pain to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you try to get them to talk about their pain and try to find the source of that pain. And above all, if you're feeling that way, by all means, call a hospital, check yourself in somewhere, let somebody know. But mm-hmm. you don't want to mess with those types of suicidal ideation.
Sure.
Seek professional help. But you want to help them acknowledge their pain. You want to share how you feel. And sometimes it's okay to simply admit that I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what to say, but I care about you. And those are helpful comments. You know, show gratitude that the person opened up. You know, that's a very hard thing for some people to open up, because bottom line is, it's for many, it's a pride issue. I can't share this because I'm. And so you show gratitude and you show interest in the individual. Going through difficulty mentally can be terribly isolating and terribly lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people need to share their struggles. So, Melissa, how do you get people to open up is the question.
That's really, I think that's the big thing, because it makes complete sense that you have to be, I would think, kind of brave to open up.
Absolutely. And that's why you have to affirm that. You know, most people who open up need to be told, hey, this took a lot of courage for you.
Mm.
To talk about what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And then beyond that, you've got to find a source of, why do I think the way I think? Why do I feel the way I feel? And what's driving my irrational thought? And mental health is so, there are different types of mental illness. There's mood disorders, anxiety disorders, personality disorders, psychotic disorders like schizophrenia. There's eating disorders. There's so many of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a tricky thing. But you don't want to feel less than a person just because you're feeling a certain way. You're feeling depressed. You know, you're feeling anxious. So you have these panic attacks, and you just your mind keeps racing. You know, many, many, many people feel that. And Melissa, the other thing is, there's a spectrum. To much like with Asperger's, there's a spectrum. You could
right.
be high Asperger's or low Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of anxiety disorders, you could have a significant anxiety disorder, or you could have a mild anxiety disorder.
True.
But the issue is, this could be cleared up. You know, we seek a professional, perhaps in 2-3 sessions. You know, it could be cleared up. It's not like you're going to be in therapy till you're 95 years old. See if it helps.
Yeah.
Seek someone.
Yeah.
To kind of help you kind of work through this, and try a session or try 2 sessions and see if it doesn't help, and kind of move from there. But it's such a great topic.
Yeah. And Julius, if somebody wants your help in sort of navigating through this, how can they contact you?
Yeah, they can call and make an appointment at 203-243-7714. And you can read about me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or BARK, www.bark.com.
All right. Simple enough. Julius, thank you for diving into this topic. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for bringing it up, Melissa. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too. That's Julius Dudix, our morning show counselor, checking in right now with our social media consultant, Krista Carnes. Now, Krista, scam companies have been on your mind. Why?
Oh, I got duped. I'll own it.
No, did you really? Honestly, I've been there, done that. I totally have been there, done that, especially with like selling furniture online. I can't even.
I you know, there's safety issues and stuff, but I think, you know, this is really just a fallout of how much information that, you know, social media companies have on you, and you know, there's a lot to be looked at in terms of what data they're selling and stuff. But we all know that situation where you've looked something up and then all of a sudden you get all kinds of ads for it, and
yep.
And you know, they're listening in various ways. But I've had this gift certificate for a certain brand of sunglasses, and I've been waiting, and like I haven't had a chance because of the pandemic to like go in and try on and figure what I wanted. But lo and behold, it hit my social media feed that there was this huge sale, and I was like, wow, I've never seen these sales, and I got all excited. I bought like 8 pairs of sunglasses because they were so cheap, and it was like one of these just dumb moves. And I pushed send, and I was like, I should have Googled that company. Boom, right? And I did. As soon as the transaction went through, like as soon as I sent it, I Googled the actual name. They had like, you know, what they call like screened an email to use the same logos, and you know, kind of looked legit. But then when I got my PayPal confirmation, it was all in Chinese, and I was like, oh my God. It was a few $100s, and so, you know, and I it remedied itself, and I went to PayPal, and I went to the company, and I, you know, eventually, like, you know, they said it was too late for me to fix it. I'm like, but I you haven't even touched my account, all these things.
Right.
But, you know, I just kind of got complacent. And I think I've been doing so much online buying lately. That's sort of been, you know, you don't just stop into, you haven't been stopping into stores to browse. So I've been browsing online.
Right.
It happened another, just yesterday, which is why I suggested we talk about this, because there's this very cool Van Gogh event, and I'm not affiliated with them at all, but this very cool Van Gogh event in New York. And I had been reading about it in LA, and I read about it in Chicago, and the tickets were selling out fast, and I bought them in February. And when I went to go look for my tickets to confirm the date, there was like another company that had taken that idea and were producing something similar. And somehow my email, I had put my email in for a wait list, and it just got very convoluted, and the company wouldn't refund my money and couldn't find my tickets. And it turns out that I ultimately found them through the legitimate company, but these companies are out there trying to, you know, tap into people's sense of urgency, mm-hmm. or this fear that they're going to miss out. And they're creating events but not telling, you know, not distinguishing themselves from somebody else. So they're co-opting on somebody else's thing. And I'm sure. And then of course I go and Google that company afterwards, and all it is this company doesn't give refunds, and they're in Australia. I called the customer service line. I talked to some guy in Australia who hung up on me. And
oh, it's like, terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. And, it's just a bad way to do business. And I think we just have to be careful, because we are giving a lot of our information away by our search habits. And there's things you can do. I mean, I'm not paranoid by any stretch, and we have a lot of protections in place, so I wasn't worried that I wasn't going to get my money back if I wanted to, or that I could escalate it and things. But it was just like a stressor that I didn't need. So I think the long and the short of it, at least for me, is something seems too good to be true.
It probably is.
Probably is.
Yeah. I mean,
Google, you know, if you've never heard of, like, a lot of times, I think for women, we get a lot of fashion things served up to us, and it turns out you've never heard of the company. Google the company, find out what people say about it, because, you know, I have a friend whose family member went because she was searching for a dresser, and she found a really good deal online through Etsy or Craigslist or something, and it turns out it was Dollhouse Furniture when it arrived.
In
the palm of her hand.
Right.
So if it doesn't have descriptions, if it doesn't give you a way to call or ask, you know, more questions. You mentioned the Craigslist, Facebook groups, Marketplace and things, which I find a lot of great stuff. I only meet in public places.
Right.
Do exchanges.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give out my address and things like that. So, you know, it's just a matter of I'm kind of like ready to get out in the world again, and maybe I'm just a sucker sometimes.
No, I mean, honestly, though, Krista, I think, you know what, Krista, I have to be honest with you if this makes you feel any better. You know, I talk about scams on a weekly basis. I have you come on. I have the Better Business Bureau. I have cops come on. Like, I talk about scams all the time. And as much as I can literally put it out there, I myself have been scammed, you know, very similar to your sunglasses story. You know, brand names. I there's like the website that says 90% off. And I tried to buy like five pairs of UGG boots. And here's where it gets crazy, Krista, is not only did my credit card get rejected the first time, but I then tried another credit card on the same website, and it didn't hit me until the third credit card that I said, this is really weird. They keep collecting my information, and I keep trying more credit cards. Like, at what point am I going to stop being dumb? I mean, so I had to cancel all credit cards. So you're not dumb. I think that we expect these red flag moments, but we also, I think, have become so comfortable with the virtual world and shopping that this is so commonly happening. So I think, you know, the one thing I want to just kind of end with you is what would you suggest to people? Like, what are maybe red flags? Like, for example, if they ask you to put your card in and they say it doesn't work, try another one. That's a red flag, because unless there's something going on with your finances, you shouldn't be giving them 2, 3, 4 credit cards, because they're just taking your information.
Well, just imagine. So think of it this way. Like, if I walked into a store and I felt shady, I would know. Like, I would have so many more, you know, visual, you know, I could hear and see and smell things and know, like, you know, this place is not legit. You don't have that when you're shopping online. And, you know, so you really need to, you know, maybe next time you're going to Google the company before you even put in that credit card. And I say Google, I just mean, like, look it up, find out if it's legit. I don't trust the comments on the Facebook post. Oh, this is the best thing I ever bought and saved my life. And, you know, but because those are all paid for and probably, you know, faux, like they're fake to begin with. So I'm still a fan of the Better Business Bureau, right? Like, I will throw things in there if somebody, so just try to, if you can, like, think about it, sort of assume there might be a scam, unless you can walk into like a Lowe's or a Home, like unless you walk into a store, just decide you need to be a little extra cautious on what you're doing. And look around and, you know, try to talk to somebody. If there's no way to chat, if there's no way to, I do think a lot of legitimate businesses are moving to chat, which I find very effective because I have time to do it. And, you know, on my laptop and stuff, but you know, a lot of times they'll have Better Business Bureau accredited logos. And I believe those organizations are pretty particular on, you know, who uses those. Like, you have to earn certain things. So, you know, if it's got a lot of, you know, if they're going out of their way to show you that they're authentic, like, double check. But I think there are very legitimate sources out there. It's really just a, how badly do I want it? And if you think about it, if I've looked for this stuff before and they keep serving it to me, they know that I'm looking for it.
Exactly. And just take the time. Be a little more like thoughtful about it. Yeah. Krista Carnes, thank you so much for the heads up on this. We so appreciate it. And we'll talk again really soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, Krista.